This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
From pop culture to politics, this is the Michael Medved Show.
And another great day in this greatest nation on God's green earth. A great day when it appears that they maybe will get a deal done on this latest version of coronavirus relief. Would that be a good thing? What will it look like? We'll be speaking to Steve Moore, who has been at the center of those debates, those negotiations, and speaking directly to the president with his idea that the president doesn't even need Congress to put a halt to the collection of payroll taxes for the rest of this year, which would mean a big bit of money, extra pay for people who are working and are getting paychecks and payroll and are earning less than $75,000 a year. A targeted tax cut directly at the middle class and the working class. We'll be speaking about that with Steve Moore coming up. But first, I want to talk with you a little bit about what it seems to me is very clearly the biggest issue confronting the country right now, the one that is most passionate, the one that is most worrisome, the one that is most scary, if you want, which is a profound disagreement, not between black and white, but a profound disagreement on the importance of race. The left in this country, particularly white people who describe themselves as allies of the Black Lives Matter movement, is obsessed with the idea of increasing our focus, our conversation, our consciousness all the time about race. I just was seeing something about the Seattle Children's Museum, which is a lovely facility. Of course, it's been closed because of the pandemic, and I guess maybe that's why they're going a little bit crazy. The staff of the Children's Museum was having an argument with the administration because they wanted to put out all sorts of stuff on the internet for children about Black Lives Matter and particularly about whiteness. That's one of the big lines here, is people have to be more conscious of whiteness. And part of it, I guess, is this idea of equality, because I acknowledge this and I accept it, is that when you're black and you are a minority in this country, and of course the nation is about 14% African-American, self-identified, when you're a minority, when basically 86% of the rest of the country is something else. And remember, about half of people who identify as Hispanic also identify as white. So there is this tremendous desire on the part of some folks, because black people identify as black and they're conscious of it, and it's something you know about and that you feel and it's part of your lived experience. Got it. They want white people to have that same sense of our racial identity, that I should be waking up in the morning thinking about, huh, I'm white. What does that mean? What does that mean in terms of my lived experience? How is my life different because I am white? And I think what a lot of people don't understand is just how alien that feels for that majority of Americans who, very much big majority, still identify as white. And what I absolutely don't understand, and I would love to take your calls on it, I mean it, is how anybody thinks that increasing white consciousness is going to help the country or is going to help race relations. It used to be, as recently as, oh, say, 2008, when Barack Obama was running for president the first time, part of the idea was to get behind and beyond this race consciousness, so not everything would be race, 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 I'm this race, I'm that race, this is what defines me. And Obama actually in that speech that made him famous when he delivered the keynote address at the Democratic Convention in 2004. He was a state senator from Illinois, and that speech was so powerful, and it resonated so strongly with so many Americans, because he said, we are not a black and white, we're red, white, and blue. We're not the red states and the blue states, we're the United States of America. And that's, I think, what people long for in this country. What they don't long for is lectures from Oprah Winfrey. And I know she's supposed to be the most admired woman in the world. It's either her or Michelle Obama. And, okay, and I know they're buds. But Oprah Winfrey was doing a podcast together with a former professional football player named Emmanuel Acho. And they were going into this idea of white privilege and why it's so very important and so very helpful to get white people to spend more time thinking about what whiteness means and what whiteness is. Listen.
White people, there are white people who are not as powerful as the system of white people, the caste system that's been put in place, but they still, no matter where they are on the rung or the ladder of success, they still have their whiteness.
Yes, it is you can never generalize in life in general. Right. You can never generalize. Now, when I'm saying white people, I am speaking of the proverbial white people. I'm not saying like you, white person. I am saying proverbially, historically, white people have had power. But think about this, because I got a lot of backlash when I brought up white privilege, because some people are like, wait a second. I'm a poor white person. Your parents were doctors. How can you say I'm privileged? White privilege isn't saying your life hasn't been hard. White privilege is just saying your skin color, it hasn't attributed to the difficulty of your life.
Okay, By the way, I will acknowledge that. I don't think I've had some challenges in my life. Everybody has. Skin color was not one of them. Got it. But how do you think it is that America will be a better place, or relations between and among racial groups will be better than they are now, simply by getting white people to think more about this idea of white privilege? By the way, the response regarding Oprah has been pretty harsh. Ted Cruz, for instance, posted on his Twitter account, billionaire Oprah lectures the rest of us. You still have your whiteness. That's what the term white privilege is. It means that whiteness still gives you an advantage, no matter. And Ted Cruz comments, what utter racist BS. And that message, you can argue whether it's true or whether it's not true. I understand the argument for saying that it's true. Why is it helpful? Why does it bring America closer together? Why does it help the struggle for African-American people in this country to come together to provide better opportunities for their kids? You know who said something very, very strong about this and was really terrific on this? It's a former national security advisor named Rice. Right now, there's one national security advisor, former, named Rice. That would be Susan Rice, who's much in the news. And I'm talking about the good Rice, Condoleezza Rice. She was speaking at the Aspen Security Forum. We'll share with you coming up what she said. And there's also a terrific commentary by another African-American commenter and commentator, and named Jason Riley, friend of the show, personal friend. And Jason Riley writes about the shift in Barack Obama. Barack Obama, as I mentioned before, used to be one of these guys who said, look, America has to move beyond race. We have to embrace this identity of Americans, regardless of where we came from and how we got here, whether we got here in immigrant ships or in slave ships. We're all one country. And that's part of what got him elected the first time, and kind of a landslide in 2008, and got him elected in a more narrow victory, re-elected in 2012. So why has Barack Obama shifted and bought into this stuff of white privilege, white guilt, somehow an ongoing, living every day white apology? We'll get to that and more on the Medved Show. Politicians and the media will never mention one of the biggest challenges facing the health and well-being of every American, the explosion of junk science in our country. That's why I'm so grateful for the American Council on Science and Health, a 501c3 nonprofit whose mission is to separate fact from fiction and health scares from legitimate health threats. You've probably heard all sorts of junk science about red meat causing cancer or climate change destroying all life on Earth. Thankfully, ACSH fights back, but they need your help. Visit the website today, acsh.org.
During this time, perhaps more than ever, we're looking for things to binge watch, read, and listen to, because we're spending more time at home than ever before. So here at the MedVed Show, we want to extend a special offer to listeners right now who've not yet taken the leap to become a MedHead Premium subscriber. If you go to michaelmedved.com, click on the MedHead banner, and use the promo code SPRING40, you'll get $20 off an annual membership. In addition to that, for new members or existing MedHead members, we've discounted everything at the MedVed History Store by 50%.
Did you know precious metals have a solid history of outperforming the stock market during tough economic times? Chatting with my good friend Nick Rovich, owner of Amfed Coin and Bullion, he warned me there are severe shortages of gold, silver, and platinum right now. Now, many dealers have nothing to sell. So right now, Amfed is helping hundreds of people acquire bullion. They're open for business with some staff working from home, and they can lock you in precious metals at a very fair price. Nick has been in the industry for over 40 years. He knows the intricacies of every market condition, what to buy now, and what you should avoid. He's the only person, really, that I trust for solid advice and the one person you need to talk to about this situation. Call Amfed Coin and Bullion at 800-221-7694 or visit AmericanFederal.com. That's AmericanFederal.com or 800-221-7694.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
The Michael Medved Show.
It's beyond belief.
On the Michael Medved Show, there's actually a piece in Politico today. And Politico, of course, is a Washington, D.C. insider publication that distinctly leans toward not the far left, but it leads toward the Democratic side of things. And they have a piece about a prospective vice president for Joe Biden. And they say that there's a group of people who ardently, really, really, really want Biden to pick Susan Rice, the former national security advisor, former UN ambassador for President Obama. What group wants her on the ticket? Republicans. I'm not sure that those Republicans are right, but I am fairly sure that I think that as a vice presidential candidate, Susan Rice comes with a great deal of baggage. Condoleezza Rice, no relation, no relation. I mean, maybe one of these people who traces heredity could find that they are a ninth cousin twice removed, but there's no relation that either of these distinguished ladies is aware of. Condoleezza Rice, of course, was not only National Security Advisor, she was Secretary of State. And she's an outstanding public servant. I had the chance to speak with her briefly and saw her at the Hoover Institution at Stanford in one of my visits there. It's where she hangs out most of the time now. She was speaking at the Aspen Security Forum. And Secretary of State, former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, was asked about systemic racism and what we can do, what we need to do to eliminate it, if to the extent that it exists in our country. Here's what Secretary Rice had to say.
I'm someone who believes very much that we had a birth defect at founding. Right? Slavery was a birth defect, and it still has an impact. When I hear people say, oh, I want us to be colorblind. No, I actually don't think we're ever going to be. I don't really care if we're colorblind. But I would like to get to the place that when you see somebody who is black, you don't have preconceived notions of what they're capable of, who they are. By the way, what they think, which is, I think, a problem of the left. You look at somebody who's black and you think you know what they think, or you at least think you know what they ought to think. So I think that, yes, these are issues that continue to bedevil us from a long history with racism, and they do get built in to systems in ways that have negative impacts. But I am not one who believes you can just sort of, quote, take on systemic racism. I don't even know how to start. I do think you can take on the impact of an educational system for minority kids that leaves most of them behind. I think you can take that on, but people might not like my answer. My answer is, let's do school choice in a big way.
Okay, and school choice means that everybody pays in tax money that goes to provide public education. We do have a belief in America that public education, at no cost, is a right. It's a right in America, and it has been a right not from the beginning of the country, but it's been a right fairly well recognized since the middle of the 19th century, the middle of the 1800s. So Dr. Rice, who benefited a great deal from public education before she went on to her truly amazing career in university and graduate work and beyond, Dr. Rice is saying, why not give people a choice as how their tax money is used, which they have paid in and other people have paid in their name? Why not give them a choice as to what kind of school they want to send their kids to? The idea being that parents probably know better than administrators or politicians what school might be best for their kids. And by the way, this is the case with every family that I know. There sometimes are different kids, different children, siblings, some of whom will thrive at one school and others of whom want and need and will thrive at a completely different kind of school. Why not allow that kind of choice? The whole idea is that we should think in terms of human beings, not color-coded people. Because human beings aren't color-coded. Yes, the fact that you were born black will have some impact on your life, and I agree there is a set of challenges. There's a long history of oppression. Okay, all of that everyone should be aware of. But this notion of trying to increase awareness of whiteness, offering classes in whiteness, it's absurd. And the point of Jason Riley, who is African-American, of course, a very distinguished columnist for the Wall Street Journal, in his piece today, Jason talks about Barack Obama and an unfortunate shift that President Obama has made. He writes, it wasn't long ago that the former president was trying to steer Democrats in a more moderate direction. Back in 2018, amid calls for sanctuary cities and the abolition of immigration enforcement agencies, Mr. Obama insisted that national borders matter and that laws need to be followed. He also urged fellow liberals to cool it with the identity politics. Quote, we have to engage with people not only who look different, but who hold different views, he said. And you can't do this if you just out of hand disregard what your opponents have to say from the start. And you can't do it if you insist that those who aren't like you because they're white or because they're male, that somehow they lack standing to speak on certain matters. That's Obama who said that. And then he quotes what Obama said at the funeral for John Lewis, his acclaimed speech, where President Obama said, Bull Connor may be gone, but today we witness with our own eyes police officers kneeling on the necks of black Americans. We may no longer have to press the number of jelly beans, guess the number of jelly beans in a jar in order to cast a ballot. But even as we sit here, there are those in power doing their darndest to discourage people from voting by closing polling locations and targeting minorities and students with restrictive ID laws and attacking our voting rights with surgical precision. And then Jason Riley writes, Mr. Obama was elected president twice in a country where blacks are only about 13% of the population. Yet he invoked segregation-era figures like Bull Connor, who was Birmingham, Alabama's commissioner of public safety, to suggest that little has changed for blacks since the 1960s. Mr. Obama's own accomplishments undermine his rhetoric. As does the fact that in Minneapolis, where George Floyd died in police custody earlier this year, the police chief is and was black. John McWhorter, another great black scholar of Columbia University, has documented that white suspects in police custody have died under similar circumstances. Those events don't receive the media attention that Floyd's death garnered because they don't fit the prevailing racial narrative, which Mr. Obama is advancing, but absent any evidence that Floyd was killed because of his race, the responsible course would be to avoid such conjecture. There is more. I will go to your calls if somebody has a comment on why it's a good thing if people spend more time thinking and talking about race.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
When you have a pain in the neck, a real pain in the neck, back, shoulder, or legs, you now have two convenient choices to get fast relief without taking another pill. Because now, Sunny Bay heating wraps and pillows are available at both Amazon and Walmart. Yes, see Sunny Bay's 4.5 to 5-star customer reviews on Amazon.com or Walmart.com. Our made in the USA microwavable heat wraps, heatable neck pillows, and extra large body wraps are designed better for perfect support where and when you need it. Even while driving, Sunny Bay wraps will not burn and stay balanced to provide soothing hot or cold therapy to help treat temporary or chronic pain. And the best part? Sunny Bay quality products started under $20. Join thousands of happy customers and see why Sunny Bay products have a lifetime 100% positive rating on both Amazon and Etsy. It's easy. Click Amazon or Walmart and search today for Sunny Bay.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
The Republican-led Senate Judiciary Committee is hearing from former Acting Attorney General Sally Yates regarding the origins of the Russia investigation. Yates telling Committee Chairman Lindsey Graham she would not have signed off on spying on Carter Page if she knew what she knows now.
If I had known that it contained incorrect information, I certainly wouldn't have signed.
Thank you. And do you agree with me it did contain incorrect information?
I know that now based on the Horowitz report.
That's all I'm trying to say.
White House advisor Larry Kudlow says the United States economy wouldn't be able to take the enormous human cost of another hard coronavirus lockdown. Kudlow saying schools and businesses can safely reopen by strictly following coronavirus guidelines like distancing and masking and hygiene. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Do you want to give you and your loved ones premium nutrition right now? Hi, I'm Jamil Bookaboo from TeamGaday.com and the GCN Longevity Health Team. Get your premium nutrition formulated by world-renowned naturopathic doctor, Dr. Joel Wallach at wholesale, or also become a distributor and earn income while supporting this broadcast. Go to TeamGaday.com via the shopping cart or contact form, and I'll get back to you with support personally. That's TeamGaday.com with Longevity. TeamGaday.com.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions, SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
If you have diabetes and you're on Medicare, Medicaid, or have private insurance, you may qualify for a new continuous glucose monitor. Managing your diabetes is crucial to your health. The new CGM can automatically and easily help you manage your diabetes more effectively. And by using a CGM, you can eliminate the one thing most people with diabetes dislike the most, finger sticks. Now you can automatically manage your diabetes and end the painful finger sticks. Solara Medical Supplies makes it simple for you to have a new CGM. We'll do all the insurance paperwork for you and deliver the newest in diabetic care technology right to your door. Take charge of your diabetes today with the help of a new continuous glucose monitor. Call now to learn more.
800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. 800-547-5331. That's 800-547-5331.
This is the Michael Medved Show.
On the Michael Medved Show, talking about the obsession, not with blackness, the obsession with whiteness. Why is that helpful to our country? How is it supposed to change things for the better? Let me go directly to your calls. 1-800-955-1776. Tom in Seattle, thanks for hanging on.
Yes, hi, Michael. You boiled it down beautifully to really help me move forward today with the term color-coded people. You said that a few minutes ago. And also, I mean, great to hear Condoleezza Rice's voice. She leaves me wanting more. I wish she was more visible and in the news. But
me too.
I can't get over the hypocrisy and just the obsession on judging people based on the way they look. I am Caucasian, I'm middle-aged, and I feel like because I have conservative leanings that I'm most likely to be just labeled as a racist just because of how I look. Yet other people can use that term and label others freely. And I just want some help. Maybe you can help sort this tangle out for me. Looking at the presidential candidates and the vice presidential choices on the Democrat side, they're all people of color. I don't see any Native American or Asian.
Asian is like, Tammy Duckworth. Tammy Duckworth is half Chinese Thai American. From Illinois,
well,
who's on the list. But go ahead.
It all seems like it's a vicious circle over and over and over again. And I mean, do you think they could ever have elections where we can't see any of the people? We can't make any assessment based on how they look at all. You know, that it's like you're voting for the person's mind and their experience and their training. How do we take how we look out of the human experience and not make judgments? Thank you.
Boy, is that a powerful question. And, you know, when you talk about can't we just look beyond what people look like, let me tell you how far this has come. Is in one of the worlds that I really care about, I'm a big fan of traditional classical music, as people know. And they had a policy that was introduced by virtually all the major orchestras in the country, New York Philharmonic and the Philadelphia Orchestra and Chicago Symphony, where they had blind auditions because they were trying to increase the representation of people of color. And they didn't want people looking at someone who was a, I'll say, a beautiful white blonde woman and preferring her just on the basis of how they appear when they're playing on stage. So they had this tradition which went for about 20 years. They were doing blind auditions. And now I know the New York Philharmonic and I believe other leading orchestras are dropping blind auditions. So they can look at race more. And what's so cuckoo about the whole thing is that if you really do believe, and I do, that America has a racist history, that there has been a great deal of racial discrimination that has been part of our past, then how do you believe you all of a sudden want to go away from emphasizing race to keep black people down? You want to go now to emphasizing race so you can give black people a special advantage. The point is, there is nothing to be gained about overestimating this significance of, well, Tom described himself as a middle-aged Caucasian male. I guess he currently identifies as male. That's now a suspect group. How does it help America if that very substantial group in the population is now presumed to be guilty of certain retrograde attitudes before you even meet the person? Now, this came in, it's an email from a Christian in Simi Valley, California. He says, not sure if this email will get to you in the first hour of your show today. Well, it did. But I want to try to answer why there is no push, why there is this push for white people to be aware of their whiteness, which also ties into the push for reparations. As you mentioned, blacks are always aware of their race, and that kind of racial self-awareness is generally foreign to those who identify as white. In my opinion, that push for being aware of one's whiteness and to feel guilt about it is an attempt to compel whites to feel or at least empathize with the same kind of pain blacks feel. With reparations, it may not just be for paying for past injustices, but also to make whites feel a financial hurt that's similar to what blacks have felt. To me, this isn't really about equality and fairness, but revenge, coupled with a new kind of special treatment achieved through accepting victimhood status. Look, I do think that's insightful, and when you look at the common embrace right now of reparations now. Does anyone believe, however, that actually encouraging people to think about whiteness is going to make them better disposed toward reparations? Here's a question. Is right now in this country, there are at least 25%, probably close to 30% of people who aren't white or black. A lot of them Asian. About 17% who identify as Hispanic. Do you think it's fair to ask Asian people who suffered horrible discrimination, I mean, horrible discrimination and violence and lynching? Asian people faced all of that, and not just the internment camps during World War II, the relocation camps. Okay. Asian people should now also pay reparations? Or would you somehow arrange the reparations so that it was only white people, the majority of whom in this country are people descended from folks who arrived after slavery was already abolished? And what about Native Americans? Yeah, they're here too. Now, of course, you could say that the entire spending for the Bureau of Indian Affairs and the Indian Health Service, which is billions and billions a year, is a form of reparations. But one of the reasons that the whole idea is so bizarre, so ridiculous, so completely unworkable is because it involves somebody paying a great deal of money. Robert Johnson of Black Entertainment Television says the money should amount to about $350,000 per black individual, man, woman, and child in this country who can trace their ancestry back to slavery. But it is this obsession with not what you have created in your own life, not your own actions, but where you come from and who your ancestors were and what your ancestors went through. And that is exactly the opposite of what America was set up to be. And the idea, as Condoleezza Rice was talking about, that all black people think a certain way just because they're black, how insulting and how directly contradicted by two big stories today. There's a front page story in the New York Times, headline, "In black areas of Minneapolis, some doubt calls to defund police." And this comes out the same day as a brand new Gallup poll that says black Americans want police to retain local presence. Thank you. Thank you. And the numbers here are overwhelming. And what's really overwhelming is there's not that great a big gap between black and white. We will cover those stories and more. A disabled vet who says she was kicked off an American Airlines plane because she was wearing an offensive mask. What did the offensive mask say? We will tell you. Well, we'll hint at it because we can't actually say the words on the air. 1-800-955-1776.
More of Michael Medved in a moment.
Friends, have you had a chance to visit our partners at the Institute for Faith and Freedom at Grove City College? Faithandfreedom.com. They're the leading forum and think tank in the nation for the study and application of faith and freedom. In fact, Michael Medved visits Grove City College every year to be a part of their annual conference. He's spoken on a vast array of topics to hundreds of people at that conference. In fact, as you may know, he broadcasts this very show from their campus every year when he's there. It's always such an amazing time. Unfortunately, this year's conference was postponed due to the COVID-19 pandemic. But we here at The Medved Show encourage you to visit their website. They have all their past conferences available. You can watch Medved's talk along with many other engaging talks. Dr. Paul Kangor, Jonah Goldberg, Rick Santorum, Ryan Anderson, Robbie George, and many, many more. Visit them today at faithandfreedom.com to see the wonderful lectures from some of the brightest minds in America. Faithandfreedom.com. That's faithandfreedom.com.
I love good movies, like a romantic comedy called About Time from 7 years ago. It's a great movie about romance and about family, really, and father and son relations, much more. Problem with it is there's a little bit of content you may not want to share with your children. That's where ClearPlay comes in. When you purchase or rent movies from Amazon.com, particularly right now during this time of pandemic, ClearPlay can set you up to watch the movies you want to see without violence, without profanity, or without other content that you would choose to remove. You make the settings up yourself. It's truly ingenious. Go to clearplay.com to learn more. And you can enjoy About Time with Margot Robbie, Rachel McAdams, and more. Check it out at clearplay.com because ClearPlay loves good movies.
Now, with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase Nano Colloidal Silver now at ImmuneSupportNow.com. That's ImmuneSupportNow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
If you or a loved one is a survivor of abuse by Boy Scouts of America representatives as far back as the 1970s, we urge you to speak up. We'll stand with you and get you the help and financial compensation you deserve. A jury in Portland, for example, awarded $18.5 million in punitive damages in one Boy Scout sexual abuse case. The Boy Scouts of America filed for bankruptcy, and funds have been set aside to compensate those injured. Time is limited, and so are the funds. Call today. Don't wait. For free information on how to file your claim, call All Survivors Advocates right now. We have a long track record in helping our clients get the legal justice and compensation they deserve. Please, we are ready to help you. Call today.
800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. 800-364-2984. That's 800-364-2984.
Dose of debate.
I'm a huge fan of your show. I almost never agree with you.
The Michael Medved Show.
And on the Michael Medved Show, there is another Gallup poll going along with one that we talked about last week. And that Gallup poll was very, very important. It asked people, black, white, Latino, basically everybody. And it asked people across America, if you have had an encounter with the police in the last 12 months, and most people have, some kind of encounter, would you say you were treated fairly? And what percentage of black people said, yep, I was treated fairly in my own contact with police? You think 10% thought they were treated fairly? I mean, if you listen to the news and you follow mainstream media and you follow the narrative that everybody's promoting, you'd think, oh, maybe 10%, 20%, distinct minority of black people think they were treated fairly. 74% say, yep, my contact with police, most recent, they treated me fairly. And then they said, how many think you were treated with respect? 73% of black respondents said, police treated me with respect. Okay, now here comes another bombshell survey just released today, and it's so important. Headline from the Gallup organization, when asked whether they want the police to spend more time, the same amount of time or less time than they currently do in their neighborhood, most black Americans, 61%, want the police to remain the same. That's similar to 67% of all U.S. adults who prefer the status quo. But here's the kicker. Black Americans are far more likely than white Americans to want the police to spend more time. If you put together the number of black people who say, I want the police to spend the same time in my neighborhood, along with the 20% who say, I want them to spend more time in my neighborhood, that's 81%. All of 19% say, no, I want the police to spend less time around here. And by the way, that's very similar to what all U.S. adults say. They say 14% want police to spend less time here. This is extraordinarily important because one of the truly painful and awful dichotomies that has been set up is this idea that somehow black people and police officers, black versus blue, it's an implacable enmity. It is something that, they can never get together. Okay, and then there's this front page New York Times story. It's by John Elligan, who had spent a long time apparently reporting and interviewing people in the predominantly black neighborhood of North Minneapolis. George Floyd was killed in South Minneapolis, which is a smaller black community. The dominant black community for many, many years in Minneapolis has been in North Minneapolis. And he reports that Minneapolis's north side, with a majority black population, has decidedly mixed opinions on the city council's effort following the police killing of George Floyd to significantly reduce the size and scope of Minneapolis's police force. Residents complain of rampant police mistreatment, but also of out-of-control crime and violence. That really has left many black residents here unenthusiastic about what has become known as the defund movement, a movement, I need to say it, that is led almost entirely by white people. Adding completely to the, adding complexity to the debate, they say they despise the police but need someone to call when things go awry. In a survey last month of likely voters in 10 battleground states, just under half of black respondents said they would be more likely to support a candidate who made defunding the police a priority, according to the poll commissioned by Run for Something. Okay, it was under minority. That means that a majority of black people do not support defund the police. This nationwide in swing states. And the poll was commissioned by a progressive organization, the Collective PAC, which backs black candidates. Black Americans, according to a Gallup poll released in July, said only 22% of black respondents supported the more drastic measure pushed by some activists of zeroing out police department budgets altogether. What are they suggesting would be the answer? If we didn't have police, asked Bunny Beeks, whose mother was fatally shot in North Minneapolis 4 years ago. I just don't understand what that would look like. That would look like all social workers and a minimal amount of people who are prepared for violent confrontations if necessary. They also say in this article, Lisa Williams, who they feature, and other Northside residents complain of police mistreatment, but also of high crime rates. And then they quote Royal Jones, who's 32, who's also African-American. Even a person like me might need the police. He would like to see more community outreach. And then there's this. There are two council members representing the North Side, Philippe Cunningham and Jeremiah Ellison, who have supported the effort to change the charter and defund the police. To say that black North Siders have not had a voice erases the existence of two black North Side council members, Mr. Cunningham said. What they're reporting on here is the fact that people who live in the neighborhood don't think those council members have been representing them because they want to zero out the police. And apparently this reporter who went around in this black neighborhood couldn't find anybody who really liked that idea. He acknowledged that the police could not be eliminated in one fell swoop. Now, this is how it's supposed to be done. We will likely need some form of law enforcement for the foreseeable future. Yet he envisioned a system in which greater investment in things like community workers, health, housing and education would stabilize the community and drive down crime. Okay, where's that worked? Would somebody tell me where there has been an unsafe neighborhood where all of a sudden you spend more money on social workers and you spend more money on public housing that's driven down crime? Is that why public housing generally in this country provide some of the most high-crime neighborhoods in the United States? This is outrageous. Oh, then there's this, Jeremy. Okay, actor Ryan Reynolds, you know him, has publicly apologized for hosting his wedding at a former slave plantation. In 2012, the Deadpool actor and his now wife, actress Blake Lively, tied the knot at Boone Hall in South Carolina. And the venue offered the kind of idyllic scenery fit for such an occasion. Its checkered past as a former slave plantation was not so pleasant. Now, 8 years later, and one massive Black Lives Matter movement later, Reynolds has apologized. Speaking with Fast Company, Reynolds said that choosing Boone Hall for their wedding venue was a giant effing mistake. It's something we'll always be deeply and unreservedly sorry for, he said. It's impossible to reconcile. And look, Blake Lively and Ryan Reynolds are the whitest couple ever. They're both very good actors, by the way. They really are. They're both talented and likable on screen, and they should have many happy years together. But this is the weirdest thing in the world. This is 2012. It's 8 years ago. And the idea that they had a wedding, it's not like they dressed up. No one was in blackface at their wedding. Nobody dressed up as the plantation massa, the master at the plantation, and had servants. No, they didn't do anything. They just liked this beautiful location. And can I tell you, it's one of those things for people who have not traveled in the South, looking at the history, and again, the plantations that are currently open to the public and are historical monuments and historical relics, they don't try to hide the ugliness of slavery. They don't try to justify or romanticize or glamorize slavery. Mount Vernon, the home of George Washington, is a former plantation that was run by slaves. And they have a huge exhibition now in the slave quarters at Mount Vernon. They actually reconstructed to provide that information. But really, do we have to apologize? I hope they're not feeling bad about their wedding. It's lasted this long. And may it continue to last along with this greatest nation on God's green earth.
What are you going to do with your old car? You can try selling it, you could junk it, or you could donate it to Heritage for the Blind. Your car will be towed away for free, and your donation is tax deductible. Just call 1-800-785-9618. Heritage for the Blind accepts cars, vans, trucks, and boats. It doesn't matter if your vehicle runs or not. It will be towed away for free, and you'll be supporting those that need help. Heritage for the Blind is a nonprofit organization that helps the visually impaired live fuller lives. Call right now to donate your car, and as a special thank you for calling, you'll receive a free 3-day vacation voucher to many exciting locations. Call Heritage for the Blind right now, 1-800-785-9618. Donating is easy, and your vehicle is towed away for free. Plus, you'll get a free vacation voucher. Call now, 1-800-785-9618. That's 1-800-785-9618.
I'm here with Scott Useum, founder of OMG Tax. Tell us how your company helps our listeners out there who have a problem with the IRS.
My team of lawyers, enrolled agents, and licensed tax experts remove wage garnishments sometimes in the same day. We even have reduced the total debt some of our clients were required to pay through what is known as an offer in compromise.
Can you give us an example of somebody you help?
Oh, can I ever? We have taken a $500,000 liability with the IRS. Guess what? The client didn't pay a dime through the representation known as non-collectible status with the government.
If you owe the IRS more than $10,000 and you want to see if it's possible to pay a lot less, call OMG Tax right now for a free tax-saving consultation.
Call 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. 800-486-8112. That's 800-486-8112.